The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
After 5 years in coalition government with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, the Green Party is looking to be returned to government for five more years. Their manifesto was named, just as it was in 2020, Towards 2030. This time, part two. So will there be a part two for them in government? Well, we're joined to hear their pitch by their leader, Roderick O'Gorman. Roderick, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, people are constantly looking at the record of the last government. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to try and tell me now what the Greens actually particularly won for the party and the country over the last 5 years.
Well, we went into government in 2020 and we've delivered every day since. We've delivered in terms of that central goal of reducing our carbon emissions. We've turned Ireland around from being a climate laggard into a climate leader. Our emissions now are at their lowest rate in the last 30 years. That's because of the policies we've put in place, cutting the cost of public transport, rolling out a new bus route every week across the country, in supporting renewable energy on homes in terms of retrofit, in terms of the solar panels, but also the work I've done in my own department, halving the cost of childcare for parents. And I know from speaking to people in my own constituency, speaking to my own friends, we heard the impact that childcare costs were having on families, on decisions about returning to work, on decisions about having children. So we've worked to half those childcare costs, and we want to go further in another 5 years. We want to continue to make childcare more more affordable, more available, but we also want to invest in public transport, a €10 billion investment
we'll
in public transport.
We'll have a look at some of your ambitions. I mean, you plan to reach a target of 50,000 homes per year. Last year was, 30-something thousand, so there's a long way to go. In order to do that, and it doesn't matter which party it is, you're going to need more builders, more planners, more speed.
Yeah, more
Where's
speed.
Where's that coming from?
Well, the speed will come from the Planning Act that was passed recently. The builders and planners will come from the IDA for Skills, one of the proposals contained in our manifesto. And that's about a state body that looks abroad and looks to bring the skills we need in the same way the IDA looks abroad to get financial investment into the country. We're looking to bring skilled, whether there are Irish people who've gone abroad and we want to encourage them back, or other skilled professionals to give them the relocation packages that makes coming to Ireland to contribute to, whether it's the building, health sector.
I'm just wondering how long it's all going to take. Remember during the COVID emergency, we had this invitation to health professionals to come back, and virtually no one was hired by the HSE permanently when they came back. Well, so the same way, you're looking for 50 more people in on board Planola, and the Irish Planning Institute reckons local authorities need between 350 and 400 new planners.
And that's why, rather than letting these bodies try and hire internationally themselves, it's about having a centralised group, this IDA for Skills, who will actually look abroad, who actually are able to tap into professional
and then no one gets hired by the local authorities
to look to bring them home.
Do you know what I mean?
We've resourced on board Planola. We've dramatically expanded the staffing of on board Planola over the last number of years, and we need to go further so we can actually continue that success of increasing the housing output. But I look at the LDA, Pat, as well, the Land Development Agency, as a really important body to be building public housing on public land. And we want to use a significant amount of the money from Apple, $4 billion of that, to increase the capitalisation of the Land Development Agency so it can take state-owned sites and put affordable purchase and affordable rental, the cost rental model. So that's the model that the Green Party introduced during this period of government that allows people a rent below market rate because the profit for the landlord has been stripped out. And that's going to be, in my view, a really big impact in terms of making rental more affordable in the years going forward. There's 2,000 houses, there's 2,000 families in cost rental homes right now, but we really need to ramp that up in the years ahead. And that's why we're saying give the LDA that €4 billion of the Apple money.
Now, on transport, I mean, it's one of the headliners, I suppose, for the Green Party always was. And you want us all to move to sustainable transport. And
we want to give people the option, Pat. We know for some people the car is going to be part of their mix, but we want to give people the option to move to public transport. And for many people in different parts of the country, they don't have that option right now. So we're saying take €10 billion of the Apple money to invest in public transport, make it safer, make it cheaper, make it more reliable. That €10 billion will allow us to deliver those big projects. So whether it's Metropolitan Rail in Waterford or Limerick, whether it's Lewis or in Cork or Galway, and and a further rollout of local link service as well, Pat.
Okay, but all this money, I mean, you talk about 10 billion on transport, mm-hmm. but if you do Metrolink, Lewis to Finglas, Dart Plus, the rail link to Shannon Airport and a rail line from Waterford to Wexford, that's already costed at 16.25 billion, but you're promising much more than that list of mm-hmm. things that have been costed. So
we've in the NDP right now, there's just short of 3.5 billion euro for public transport each year. That's not going to bring us near what we need to deliver those public transport programmes. And the Green Party is the only party that are being upfront with the electorate and saying there are all these plans in the pipeline that all the parties have in their manifestos. We're the party that's talking about how we pay for it. We're the party who's saying upfront, take that sizable piece of the Apple money, add 3 billion from the surpluses and ensure that we can deliver that safer, now, cheaper, more reliable
you know,
service.
You will not be able to go into government on your own. I mean, mm-hmm. that would be pie in the sky. So you go into a government with other parties, and whether it's your existing coalition partners, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, or whether it's any other mixture, they're all spending the Apple money as well. So there's only so much Apple money to go around.
There is, and that's why a programme for government negotiations are so important. And we showed in 2020 that we negotiated a really strong, a really green programme for government with our key policies set out in there, guaranteed in there, and we've delivered them over the course of the last 4.5 years. So if we're in the position to be in programme for government negotiations later on this year, early next year, we will drive a hard bargain and that transport investment will be absolutely central.
I'm a bit confused about Glewis, for example, and indeed the Western Rail Corridor, because the press release suggests examining these projects. The manifesto says you'll build them. Which is it?
We want to build out Glewis. We think Galway City would benefit hugely from the sort of connectivity across the city. We all know the major transport and congestion issues that the city faces. We believe a Glewis and Galway, and my colleague Senator Pauline O'Reilly has worked closely in terms of advancing that programme.
But isn't the real problem that if you put Glewis in, which is a tram like Glewis, but a G in front of it for Galway, mm-hmm. you take up road space, which limits even further the ability of people who have to use the man in the white van, classically, to get across Galway. There'll be even less road space, whereas you need to be able to bypass Galway entirely. And that means road building. And I'm not sure that the Green Party's in favour of roads at all.
Well, the man in the white van is finding it very hard to get across Galway right now. And if we can take some cars off those roads,
replacing them with a dedicated Lewis track, by
providing the option of public transport, we free up road space for absolutely everybody. But on that point of roads, Pat, like that's a bit of an urban legend that's grown up over the years. Roads are necessary, and this government has provided roads around the country. I was at the
in your manifesto, no roads.
No, it's not saying that. But it's saying
there are no designated roads.
But we're unapologetic in saying we're putting the focus on public transport. And the reason we're doing that, Pat, is that public transport investment has been the poor relation of our transport planning for decades. And we've looked to address that over the last 4.5 years. We've put in place the Limerick to Foynes rail. Work is taking place on that. Work is taking place on Metropolitan Rail in Cork. And we've got those big programmes like Dart West, for example. That's gone through planning. It's ready to go. But I want to see a Green Minister for Transport in the next government to ensure it's delivered.
Are you in favour of converting disused railway lines to greenways?
It depends on the location. I think we've seen some beautiful examples of it. If we're in a situation where the rail line could actually be reactivated as a rail line and provide important connectivity between commuter towns, I think that option should be open as well.
Okay, because one of the things we're thinking about in the future is that you'll have autonomous vehicles that could trundle along old permanent ways without a massive infrastructure being required, just a road-like structure where the rails once were. Mm-hmm. And the idea of once a greenway becomes a greenway, you'll never get it back from the Greens.
Well, it's not...
Even though it might be much more useful as a conduit for autonomous transport.
It's not just the Greens who enjoy greenways, Pat. Everybody enjoys greenways. And, you know, certainly in Waterford and in Mayo and Westport, they've been hugely, hugely successful. And I'm hoping to see a greenway go through my own constituency along the Royal Canal. That will be so important for commuters, for walkers and for tourists as well. So I think we look at the individual case and see what's the best use of the resources.
Now, we are all talking about alternative energies, whether it's solar or wind. wind, less so wave, but we're talking about wind in terms of offshore wind and onshore wind and floating wind and all the rest of it, all very slow because we have given the job of approving all of this to Onboard Planola, which, like the Mrs. O'Brien's extension and a major offshore floating wind resource being considered by the same body. It seems daft.
Yeah. Well, nothing was done on wind before the Greens came in 2020 on offshore wind, so we had to start from scratch. One of the first things we did was recognise that point you made, that Onboard Planola isn't the right place to plan for the sea. So working with the Department of Housing, we've set up the Marine Area Regulatory Authority, MARA. So that's basically an Onboard Planola for the sea, setting out where turbines should go, what are the areas we should
and
leave free.
The expertise for that coming from?
Well, it's up and running. It's been staffed already. So like it is up and running. And we would hope we've done out these D-maps. These are these maps of the seabed that says where wind power can go for the south coast and the east coast. And we believe by 28, 29, we'll start to see that offshore wind being fed into our electric system that will power homes here in Ireland. It's going to power businesses. And ultimately, we'll be in a position to be an energy exporter. And that's a revolution in energy in Ireland. Ireland will actually become an energy exporter in the next number of years. And again, I believe it's really important that we have Greens in the next government so we can continue on the progress that's been made over the last 4.5 years.
There is no doubt that you can't, now maybe battery capacity will grow exponentially in the next few years, but you can't usually power the entire grid with wind and solar because at night, when the wind doesn't blow, you've got a deficit. And we know that Ireland has more installed zero carbon capacity, that's solar and wind, than peak demand. But of course, installed capacity doesn't mean installed delivery, because if the wind ain't blowing when you've got peak demand, you don't have that alternative energy. So you do need standby generation. And so, the Greens have set their face against an LPG terminal, for example, which might be needed in the great transition.
Yeah, we have set ourselves against commercial LNG and we stopped it. We were about to get commercial LNG before we came into government and we've stopped it. And we are seeing huge increases in battery storage capacity. But really importantly, Pat, because the point you're making is correct. So we have to have energy security. And that's why interconnection is so important. When the Greens were in government last time, we put in place the first energy interconnection with the UK.
Okay,
and just
so,
in the last 2 weeks, the UK government have given permission for new energy interconnection.
So we have a situation where you have another crisis in Eastern Europe where the Russians invade Poland or whatever, and the Brits and the French say, sorry, we need all the energy for ourselves because of a deficit in other... I mean, where is our backup?
Well,
we don't want to go dark.
Yeah. No, of course not. Of course not. And everything we've done is to ensure that isn't the case. But look, we work with other European countries within an EU context. And that's why those energy interconnections with the UK and particularly new ones with France are going to be really important. Interconnection plus battery storage plus the diffuse nature
but
of our energy system. We do not believe that LNG is the right future for Ireland. Our future is committed to using renewable energies. We're making that transition. It's not an immediate transition. You're absolutely right there. But the steps that we've taken over the last 5 years is going to enable us to see wind energy, offshore wind, feeding into our grid from in the next number of years. Cheaper fuel for Irish homes.
What's your stance on nuclear energy?
Nuclear isn't the direction for Ireland to go.
No,
we
have wind energy. Do the Greens have an objection to nuclear energy because it is zero carbon?
It is zero carbon, but nuclear isn't what Ireland needs. Ireland's niche here is in wind energy.
We're getting nuclear generated energy from France.
And also from
Britain. So,
if you want to chase the individual electrons, yes, some of it comes from nuclear energy. Some of them comes from different energies. But our goal is to make Ireland energy independent, that we will be selling energy generated from offshore wind to the UK, to France, that they'll be benefiting from our
I don't see any great infrastructural planning, though, because if you're going to generate all this when the wind is blowing, you've either got to turn it into hydrogen and do something with it, or you've got to export it on the hoof, as it were, when maybe Nobody needs
it. So the infrastructural planning is taking place in terms of the work that's underway at the Port of Cork to develop that, to make it ready for the servicing of these offshore wind turbines, work that will take place in the Shannon Estuary and the task force, the Shannon Estuary Task Force that was published. So there are very clear plans in terms of how we actually harness the wind energy as it comes inshore and use it for green energy parks located in these areas in the south, east and west coast.
Now, in general, in politics, you talk about redrawing constituencies to allow up to six TDs, and that would solve some problems in the southeast, for example, in terms of constituency sizes. Lower the voting age to 16 and limit posters to specific areas within towns and villages.
Yes, yeah, I think reducing the number of posters at election time would be something a lot of people would find attractive. I know a lot of Tidy Towns organisations, sure. So my own constituency, Castleknock and Clonsilla, they've asked all their the candidates not to poster on their villages, and it's keeping them a lot tidier during the election
sure,
campaign.
Sure, and I mean, it might be tidy and nice, but research that has been published from UCC, I believe, for RTÉ's Brainstorm, was that lower number of posters means a lower turnout.
Well, we've never had an election where we didn't have posters, so I'm not exactly sure how they've been able to draw
that from. But
Pat, have you ever been in a European city during election time in Germany or France? In the centre of the town square, they've big billboards where every party is able to put up the pictures of their candidates, the manifesto. Everybody can see it, but we don't see the level of, I suppose, postering and post-election cable ties hanging off our lampposts
votes
after the election.
Votes for 16-year-olds? Is that because at that age they're still idealistic?
No, it's because at that age they're part of society. Many of them are working. Many of them are contributing taxes, and they have a real stake in their country's future as well. And we see it happening. We see it happening in Scotland, in Luxembourg, in Malta, in a number of European countries. They're now adopting votes for 17-year-olds and 16-year-olds. And I, you know, from as Minister for Children and Minister for Youth, I trust young people, and I think we should be confident in their ability to choose for their future.
Roderick, you want to set up a means testing agency, and yet the back to school allowance that you advocate will be for everybody.
Yes.
So that's a bit of a contradiction.
No.
Are you in favour of means testing for what exactly?
No, there are some things we would seek to remove the means test for, like the carers allowance, for example. We don't believe there should be a means test for that. But the means testing agency is an acknowledgement that for lots of state supports given by lots of different agencies, they do a means test, and often they don't talk to each other at all. So you can be someone who might be quite disadvantaged, is eligible for one payment, not eligible for another support. The idea is to bring this together to give a much more.
Who will lose? That's what people want to know.
No, I don't think people will lose. I think the idea is to be able to target the state's resources at the people who need it the most.
Now, you want to establish a new asylum and integration agency, which will deliver 14,000 state-owned beds by building on state-owned sites and purchasing large-scale buildings for conversion.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
We're on state-owned sites.
Where?
So we've given examples already. Thornton Hall in North Dublin, Crooksling in South Dublin, Trudder in Wicklow and Athlone in West Meath. So there are a number of the initial state-owned sites that we're looking at. We need to move away from the reliance on the private sector when it comes to the accommodation of international protection applicants. That's something that I've always highlighted. And we're starting that process through the use of state land and also through an expression of interest process for the purchasing of large-scale institutional buildings as well. That will allow us much better plan where we're locating international protection applicants. It will also be better value for money in the state in the long term.
Do you think that we have been a little bit too lax in our vetting of people coming in?
I believe when I became Minister for Integration, I inherited a system that wasn't fit for purpose. And then I was faced with two crises, the war in Ukraine and an increase in international protection applicants post-COVID. We had to manage those crises. And look, it was difficult at times, but we accommodated over 100,000 people, 100,000 people fleeing war, fleeing violence, fleeing persecution. And I know, and I've no doubt you've spoken to Ukrainians who fled here and who recognise the support that the Irish state provided. But now, as the numbers of Ukrainians seeking to protection here falls, as the number of international protection applicants coming here falls, now's our opportunity to actually reform the system. And that is a move away from using hotel accommodation to building and using state-owned land, and a migration agency that is a dedicated body overseeing the processing of people's applications and their accommodation.
For example,
as well.
Nigeria, you know, is it a safe country? Is it not? The Nigerian ambassador says, yes, it is. We say it's not.
And we've added a very significant number of countries to the safe country list. And that's having a real impact. So, for example, we added Georgia about a year ago, and the number of applicants from Georgia almost disappeared. Likewise, we've made changes to Jordan's categorization recently, and that's having a real impact. So undoubtedly, we've had to reform the system. It wasn't fit for purpose when I became minister, but very significant work has taken place to reform it. But more needs to be done. And I believe a migration agency is essential to doing that.
Finally, I have to ask you about your appeal or lack of to rural Ireland. I mean, all I have to do is lift up the phone to Michael Healy-Ray and he will give out yards
about
Greens.
That's no huge surprise, in fairness. But Michael doesn't speak for all of rural Ireland. And I'd
understand the people who desperately need to use their cars for everything, basically, even with your link buses and so on, your local link buses, people desperately need to use the car. Then there's concerns about the size of the national herd and all of those noises being made in green policies, which rural Ireland feels may be an attack on them.
Well, I'd point out the fact that 2 years ago, there were 20,000 people taking a local link bus journey every week. It's now 100,000, a fivefold increase. So those were 80,000 people desperately looking for a bus route between their local town and village. That's something the Green Party has delivered. That's something that Eamon Ryan has delivered. And it's no doubt something Michael Healy-Ray is claiming credit for on his local news bulletins. But I'd flag my colleague Roisin Garvey, who is living in rural North Clare and has a real shot at becoming the TD for one of the TDs for Clare. That's the sort of appeal, because Roisin shows how Greens are delivering for all of Ireland, including rural, including regional Ireland.
In spite of everything, in spite of flirtations by your coalition partners, maybe with the Labour Party, would you be happy to go back in with them if the numbers stack up?
If the programme for government stacked up, if we had that focus on investment in public transport, in supporting families and children and continuing to work to reduce our carbon emissions, absolutely, I'd be open to a new government based on strong agreed policies.
Roger O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.